Thank you, Dee. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we come to open up your word, my prayer is that your praise will ever be on our lips. That even as we see what you have to say to us through your holy word, that we will honor you with our praise because you deserve all praise and honor and glory. Lord, may your will be done now. May you be lifted up. And may you open up our hearts through the power of the Holy Spirit of what you have to say to us at this time. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Well, we're in this series, of course, Church on a Downward Slide, as we've been studying this letter to the churches in the region of Galatia. We have seen within this last week how the followers of Jesus Christ are adopted into God's family. And with that adoption, we now have the full right and privilege of the inheritance of the kingdom of God and the ability to call the Heavenly Father Abba. Abba is a Jewish term of endearment, very similar to our word daddy in English. Well, in Charles Dickens' story, A Tale of Two Cities, we are moved back in time to the French Revolution and how life differed between the two cities of London and Paris. It was a difficult time, a difficult era, and each city felt the ravages of war, but felt it very differently. Well, this morning's scripture involves the idea of two different lives, and in this case today, I want us to see a tale of two citizens. Ultimately, life is about two choices. It is about two different directions. Now, when my children were very young, I read to them a book by P.D. Eastman entitled, Are You My Mother? Have any of you read that book before? Are You My Mother? Okay, there's a few hands out there. For those who do not know the story or need a refresher, a mother bird left the nest for just a moment. While she was away, one of the eggs hatched, and out popped, of course, the baby bird. Now, the baby bird instantly wanted to find his mother. She was nowhere in sight, so he goes off on a journey. He goes off on an adventure to seek her. He first comes upon a kitten. Are you my mother? And the kitten says no. He comes upon a hen. Are you my mother? And the hen says no. And then it was a dog. And then it was a cow. And they all responded, no, I'm not your mother. But the baby bird wasn't done. Now he goes to a boat. He goes up to a plane and then to a steam shovel and asks each one, are you my mother? And of course, they didn't respond at all. The baby bird then shouts out loud, I want my mother. Well, believe it or not, that has something to do with our biblical account today in Galatians. This is a very lengthy scripture passage today, and Paul repeats a bit of what we have already talked about over the last few weeks in Galatians. So I'm going to lightly touch the opening verses and spend most of the time on the last verses as we look at a tale of two citizens. Well, we're in the fourth chapter of Galatians, and we pick back up this morning with verse 8. Paul writes, formerly, when you did not know God, you were enslaved to those that by nature are not gods. But now that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how can you turn again to the weak and worthless elementary principles of the world, whose slaves you want to be once more. You observe days, months, seasons, and years. In other words, all sorts of ritualistic holidays. I am afraid I may have labored over you in vain. Well, the Galatians used to worship all sorts of false gods before they came to Jesus Christ. And within this following of these false gods, they had these rituals and traditions and rules that were part of that lifestyle, and it was an enslavement to them. And Paul is saying, but now that God has revealed himself to you through grace alone, how can you think of going back to your time of enslavement? How can you think of going back to a time of rituals and traditions and rules? You are free, he told them. You're not to be slaves again. Because see, this time, they wrapped their slavery of rules, traditions, and rituals into Christianity. Pick up with verse 12. Brothers, I entreat you, become as I am, for I also have become as you are. You did me no wrong. You know it was because of a bodily ailment that I preached the gospel to you at first. And though my condition was a trial to you, you did not scorn or despise me, but received me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus. Paul encouraged the Galatians to become free like he was free. He was saying, follow my example. And we learn here in this verse that Paul's ailment, and of course many believe that his ailment had to do with his eyesight, but it was his ailment that opened up the door for him to originally preach the gospel to them. That ailment evidently produced some hardship on their lives, but they willingly accepted Paul even in the midst of his ailment. And whether it was vision, whether it was some other issue that was his ailment, it's important to see it was his disability that opened the door for the gospel to the Galatians. Verse 15. What then has become of your blessedness? For I testify to you that if possible, you would have gouged out your eyes and given them to me. Have I then become your enemy by telling you the truth? We see Paul's pastoral heart here for the Galatians. He says, what happened to you, Galatians? What happened along the way? You would have done anything for me in the past when I was there. And this concept he has here of giving up your eyes for me gives us that feeling that what he's talking about was his ailment had to do with vision. But he says, am I now your enemy? Have I now become your enemy because I'm telling you the truth? That's one of those moments for me, at least in Scripture, that I have to stop and say, how often do I not want to hear the truth if it means I must change? And I challenge you with that. How often do you not want to hear the truth if it means you have to change? Verse 17. They make much of you, but for no good purpose. They want to shut you out that you may make much of them. It is always good to be made much of for a good purpose, and not only when I am present with you, my little children, for whom I am again in the anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. I wish I could be present with you now and change my tone, for I am perplexed about you. As we've stated all along, these Judaizers, they came in and added laws, added rituals, added traditions to their faith of grace alone. And now they're equally shutting out their relationship with God by adding these rituals and traditions and laws and getting away from grace alone. They're also shutting out a relationship with God that they need to have. Don't miss that concept. Laws, traditions, and rituals were distancing the Galatians from God, not bringing them closer to Him. And Paul is in great anguish here, and that they had fallen for this Judaizer's trick, and he wished that he could be with them right now. And he's confused, he's perplexed on where these churches have gone, where they have journeyed. And then he wrote this, verse 21. He said, "Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not listen to the law? Those of you who desire to be under the law, do you not listen to it?" He's saying, tell me this, Galatians. Those of you who desire to be ruled by the law, do you actually listen to what you're trying to put yourself under? Do you hear what you have gotten yourself into, or have you fallen prey to those self-righteous religious elitists, the Judaizers? Paul then moved to an Old Testament biblical illustration to make his point, and it is where I want us to spend the next few minutes looking at. Look at verses 22 and 23. "For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by a slave woman and one by a free woman. But the son of the slave was born according to the flesh, while the son of the free woman was born through promise." This story was not exactly one of Abraham's shining moments in his life. I mean, long before this, God had called Abraham righteous due to his faith. In other words, Abraham was made right in the eyes of God because of Abraham's faith. But even Abraham had moments where he failed. As we saw a couple of weeks ago, the promised offspring, the ultimate promised offspring of Abraham was Jesus Christ. He was promised through Abraham's wife, Sarah. This was the path to Jesus. The promised offspring through Sarah would eventually lead to Jesus. But for that split moment, Sarah and Abraham made a bad decision by trying to have the promised offspring through a surrogate, Sarah's handmaiden, Hagar. The tale of two citizens begin today with a tale of two mothers. God proclaimed Sarah as the mother of promise, the one that the promise would come through. God chose Sarah to be the direction of freedom. But as usual, when we go against God's will, what sometimes seems like a good decision, we're not thinking we're going against God's will, but the decisions we make that end up being against God's will turn us into slavery. Abraham and Sarah thought the decision of the handmaiden looked very sensible, looked very logical. I mean, Sarah's 76 at this time. She's well up there. How many of you who are 76 or so would think you'd have a child right now? Well, here's Sarah at 76, and she's not exactly thinking about going out buying Pampers right at this point. 76. So she had no children at this point, so it seemed kind of like a logical thing. Maybe God meant something different. But when we have two choices in life, how often do we fall for the easy way out? We often choose the one that maybe seems sensible, that seems logical, instead of the one that takes faith. how many church decisions are made by logic instead of by faith. Oh, I've been in many a church business meetings over the year, and I've heard the discussions, and sometimes I cringe because I hear we don't want to step out in faith, we want to step out in logic. Well, for Sarah, the free woman, motherhood meant faith. For Hagar, the slave girl, it meant going against God's direction. When you choose, do you take the route that seems easy, that seems little effort, and not God's will? Or do you take the route that's often very difficult and demands faith, faith in God? One is the mother of slavery to sin. The other is the mother of freedom in Jesus Christ. Well, let me read a very lengthy passage here to end the scripture reading part. Verse 24 says, "Now this may be interpreted allegorically, symbolically. These women are two covenants. One is from Mount Sinai, bearing children for slavery. She is Hagar. Now, Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. She corresponds to the present Jerusalem, for she is in slavery with her children, but the Jerusalem above is free, and she is our mother, for it is written, 'Rejoice, O barren one who does not bear, break forth and cry aloud, for you are not in labor, for the children of the desolate one will be more than those of the one who has a husband.' Now, you brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise. But just as at that time he who was born according to the flesh persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, so also it is now. But what does the scripture say? 'Cast out the slave woman and her son, for the son of the slave woman shall not inherit with the son of the free woman.' So, brothers, we are not children of slave, but of the free woman." All right, so what do we find? Next, we see the tale of two births. Hagar became pregnant, and the child was born. 14 years later, Sarah becomes pregnant, and a child was born. Sarah is now 90 years old. If only Sarah had waited. If only Sarah had trusted that God had this all in his hands. If only Sarah was patient. But Paul wrote that this story was allegorical in nature of what God calls for Christians. That means the birth from these two mothers was a picture or a symbol of how we should choose to live. Hagar's pregnancy and the birth was a symbol of living life for me and my wants. This is the desire of the flesh that Paul speaks of. Sarah's pregnancy and birth was a symbol of living this life for God's desires. That's the desire of the Spirit. But there's another picture within this story. We also see a tale of two sons. Ishmael was born to Hagar, the slave woman. Isaac was born to Sarah, the free woman. Isaac was the promise of God. Through Isaac, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, would arrive many centuries later on this earth. These two boys could not live together, and allegorically, in Paul's day and ours, they're not compatible, nor are they equal. Muhammad, the founder of Islam, well, he claims to be a descendant of Ishmael. Isaac is the line of Jesus. Islam claims Ishmael was the child that tested Abraham's faith when God told Abraham to sacrifice his only son. Islam claims that was Ishmael. But the Bible was written way before Islam came about and declares the truth of who the real test was for Abraham. The test had to be the promised son, the one through Sarah. And what was Abraham's test? It's easy to just say, oh, it was whether he would sacrifice his son or not, but it's much greater than that. The test, did he love God because he is God? Or did he love God because God made promises of a son? Well, Abraham won the faith battle when he was willing to offer to give up his promised future through Isaac because he loved God. He loved God more and had faith. So another stopping point. Do you love God for who he is, or do you love God for what he gives you? See, it's when we get into the what he gives me mode, well, what happens if there's something you want and he doesn't give you? Then do you not love him anymore? We're to love God for who he is. Allegorically, Ishmael is pictured by the law. Isaac is pictured by grace. I mean, even today, Islam is all about obeying the laws and the rituals and earning your way to Allah and hoping that he will be pleased with you. Today, Isaac is about the descendant Jesus and how we find grace through faith. Ishmael, the picture of rituals and traditions, is slavery in our lives. And Isaac, the picture of grace alone, is freedom. Don't miss what Paul is saying here. We go the way of Ishmael when our lives are wrapped around the rituals and traditions. We become slaves again instead of the freedom we have in grace alone. But there's another subplot to our tale. It's the tale of two covenants. Allegorically speaking, the child of Hagar represented the Mosaic covenant. The law, all its rituals, all its traditions. But it is a covenant that reveals how short we are of the glory of God, because it's that covenant that points at our sin. It's that covenant that realizes how far away from God we truly are. No one can obey every law. No one can obey all the rituals and traditions. No one can be perfect on our own. The Mosaic covenant reveals those shortcomings called sin. Allegorically speaking, the child of Sarah represented the Abrahamic covenant, freedom, grace through faith. Our cleansing and salvation is not by what we do, it's by what God does. We have faith in Jesus' saving work, not our work. Abraham had faith. It was counted to him as righteousness. We have faith in Jesus' atoning work, and we're counted as righteous. But we're reminded of one final tale, and it's actually a tale of two cities. Even in this conversation of a tale of two citizens, we find allegorically two cities. Symbolically, Hagar, Ishmael represent the old Jerusalem. Now, I know that kind of twists our mind a little bit, but just think of it even today. The Dome of the Rock, a holy Islamic place, sits right on the place of the original Jewish temple. But Paul really is talking allegorically of the old temple, the old Jerusalem, built by Solomon, rebuilt later, symbolizes the old beliefs of how God should be, old beliefs of how we can earn our way to God, old beliefs that God can only be reached by following the rules and the traditions and the rituals, old beliefs that I'm in control of my own destiny if I do all these things. Symbolically, Sarah and Isaac represent the new Jerusalem. The old Jerusalem will be done away with. It's temporal, it's flawed. But the new Jerusalem will come down out of heaven, filled with the perfection of God and representing his full righteousness now in our lives due to Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. Paul realized the first century Judaizers who mandated certain rituals and traditions were not of God. They were man's creations. 21st century demanders of rituals and traditions are not of God either, but man's creation of God. Where do you stand? See, symbolically or allegorically, we're kind of like the little bird in Are You My Mother? We are, from birth, we are the children of Hagar. From birth, because we enter into sin in this world. We enter into a sin nature in this world. And we seek God with laws and rituals and traditions and customs. And we think we are strong enough to find God on our own. We think God will accept us if we do all the right stuff. Do all the right things. And symbolically, we start with Hagar as our mother. But we do not need to stay there. Our hearts should be yelling out, "Who is my symbolic mother?" The little bird in the Eastman tale found his mother. Well, we are made to be part of Sarah's family, her family of faith, but only when we seek the grace alone nature of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior by faith. Allegorically, we then become part of Sarah's family. But more important, literally, we become a child of God with all the privileges of heirs of the Almighty God, our Abba Father. That's the tale of two citizens. You have the choice. You can choose the route of laws and rituals and traditions, customs pictured by Hagar and Ishmael. That way makes you think you're in control. That way makes you have self-proclaimed power in this. But it's not the citizenship of God's kingdom. The second choice of citizenship is a route of faith. Faith in the grace of God through Jesus Christ, and you become a true descendant of Abraham because you are faithful as he was, and you're pictured by Sarah and Isaac. You become righteous in the eyes of God. You are made right in the eyes of God through his work and having faith in God and not in yourself. So this morning, where is your citizenship? Where is your citizenship? We'll go sing a song in a minute. Have thine own, I am thine own, Lord. Are you his? Are you his? Or are you of the citizenship of Hagar and Ishmael? This morning, as we come to a time of decision making, it's a very serious matter to determine where your life is. And I'm afraid too many people play church for so long. They think that if I attend, I follow all the little rituals and everything, that God's going to let me in one day. And you know, God, we even have in God's scripture that there will be many that call out his name, and God's going to say, "I never knew you," because they tried to get there on their own instead of through faith in Jesus Christ by grace alone. And so I encourage you that if you have never made that step of faith, if you've never admitted that you are a sinner, if you've never said, "God, I understand fully that I've sinned and my sin separates me from you," if you've never then opened up in faith and believed who Jesus is, that he is the Son of God and that he died for you and he took your sins on the cross when he died there, his punishment was your sins and my sins. And if you have not come to that point of confessing with your mouth Jesus is Lord and committing to follow him, if you haven't made that step, you need to make that step so that you can be of the family of Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and literally God's family. Let's go to the Lord in prayer now, and then we'll come to our time of decision making. Father, open up our hearts to you right now. Lord, if there's anyone here who does not know you as Lord and Savior, who has never made that commitment to your family, Lord, I pray that they will get serious about it today, that as Pastor Mike and I are standing here in the front, that they will come and share that need to follow Jesus Christ. Lord, give them strength through the power of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, for any other decisions that need to be made, Lord, maybe it's just someone who just needs to walk closer to you. Maybe it's someone that has a burden upon their heart right now, Lord, of something going on that they need to get straight with you. That, Lord, they will take this time in prayer to get serious and get straight with you. And, Lord, maybe it is someone here whose membership is somewhere else, Father, and this is the home where they need to be, that you will also, Lord, strengthen them to come forward and share that with us. Lord, may you be glorified and honored right now in this time. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Let's stand as we sing together.